Amen. God is good. Well, we've been in a series called What Faith Is. On Wednesday nights, we teach and preach on faith and healing, and that's what we believe God instructed us to do when we started Wednesday nights 5.5 years ago. You know, I was thinking healing originally. You know, we had thought even years before we had any Wednesday nights, even before we moved into this building originally, we just saw ourselves, you know, teaching on healing, and I think there's still stuff that's coming probably, but part of it, we were starting Wednesday nights, and we didn't start right away. We started it 5 years in. We didn't just start it to start it. We waited for the right time. I was originally thinking just be healing, but it was just, no, faith and healing, and in that order. That was what came up, faith and healing. And so we've stuck to that, and we'll stick to that as long as we need to stick to that. And we're going to drill that, go over certain things and go over it. You know, if you've ever played sports, if you've ever learned math, if you've ever learned vocabulary words, you learn by just repetition, going over certain things, and that's how you get it ingrained in you, and that's how it sticks when the pressure's on. You know, if you just do something once or twice and like, I got it, well, if you've ever played sports, you do something just once or twice, especially when there's no pressure. It's not the same as doing it over and over again, and then you're ready to do it when the pressure's on. Because the pressure of life will try to choke the word out of you. And so if you think it's just passing, well, you just get hit real hard. They'll try to just knock the word loose in you. But if you get it ingrained in you, the pressure can be there, and the word's just going to be coming out of you. And so there's certain things you want to go just over and over. I've said this before, but I like math. Math was one of my favorite subjects. You know, I ended up being a computer engineer, but when I was in high school, I looked at the different types of engineering, looked at, aerospace engineering and electrical engineering, and I loved physics. That was my favorite subject of all time in high school. I loved it. But in math, I would just do math problems, you know, in practicing for a test. I remember in college specifically going to the library and just doing math problems for 3 or 4 hours, you know, to prepare for a test. I'd do every one that was the odd problems. You know, the odd problems in our book would have the answers in the back so you could check it. And I would just do every single one. And anything I'd get my hands on, anything that any of the different form stuff would come in. So when you go into the test, that's not a big deal. You're looking forward to it. I mean, I would look forward to it because it's like, what are they going to put on there that you don't know? And it would go very well. And I enjoyed that. And I'm not saying that to put any, you know, pin any stars on me. I'm just saying there's something about you do something over till you know it. You don't have to go into the test hoping. That's a horrible feeling. Has anybody ever been there? Now, there are tests that I didn't do that same thing with. Other things that weren't my favorite subjects, you know, that had to do with, like, dates and facts and different things. And sometimes I would go into those just hoping that the right thing would be on there so that I could give the right answer. That's not a good feeling. You're like, well, are you ready? Well, I'm as ready as I'm going to get at this point, but I'm not sure. And if they do this stuff, if they cover this, oh, I knew that one. But this one, I don't know. Did you get it right? Well, I guessed. We'll see. I may have gotten it right. I put C. What'd you put? Well, I put D. Darn. I don't know. Maybe I was wrong. That's not the best feeling. And so as we're, as we prepare for life, you don't want to be going through life, well, I hope. I don't know. Did I say the right answer? We'll see. We'll see how this comes out. But if you're ready, if you have certain things in your heart, when certain things try to hit you in life, you come up with the word. And faith, you can't get too much faith in you. Faith is what makes everything work in the realm of God. It's by faith that we receive. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Impossible. So we can, if our faith is strong and you know how it operates, then you can operate it in any area. Now we focus, you know, we specific on faith and healing, but these principles will work in any area. And you can operate them. And so by the grace of God and by his word always works. So we've been talking about what faith is. And I've said this just so people know what we're covering. You heard on the recording over and over if you're listening to different ones. But this is just a Bible faith study course Brother Hagin or Rhema puts out. But we don't just go through it line upon line. We just use it kind of as a framework and then teach and emphasize what we need to. But we've been on what faith is. And so if you haven't been with us, I encourage you to go back and listen to the other ones because we can't repeat everything. And we're building building here on each lesson. We talked about some things faith is not. And sometimes you can identify what faith is or what something is by what it's not. You know, you cut some things down. Well, it's not this, it's not that. We spent some time there. And so I wanted to tonight, let's go ahead and turn over to Hebrews 11:1, and then we'll get going. That's kind of the text that we've been using. But we'll get into some different things. And I'm excited about this tonight because this can be a real blessing, what we're going to talk about. It can really just show some light, I guess, on some situations and maybe why certain things haven't worked. But Hebrews 11:1, I don't claim to know everything about faith, goodness no, but I have learned a few things, and the Word is our guide. And so we can look to the Word and we can always come up. We can always learn something new. Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." If you go down to verse 6, this is what we just quoted. Verse 6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he who comes to God must believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." Without faith it is impossible to please Him. It's impossible. We have to come to God. It says here, he who comes to God must believe that He is. When you believe, you have faith. Believing is to have faith. You must believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So it's not enough. You don't say, "God, prove to me something." You say, "God, I believe Your word," and you act on something, which is what we're going to get into tonight. But 11:1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen." Faith is the substance, or that means the foundation or what stands under things hoped for, things expected. The Bible word hope is not like we use hope today. It means expectation. So faith is the title deed or the reason for things hoped for. It's the evidence of things that you don't see. So even though you don't see something, faith is the evidence that you'll see it come to pass, even if you don't see it now. It's by faith. And so faith, we have to turn it loose. We're going to get into probably, a whole thing about turning our faith loose at a different point. But faith, one thing that it is that it's active. Faith has to be active. Faith is not just dormant and not something that you believe and that it will just work. You believe and you have to release it somehow. You have to act on it. Now we're gonna look at that a little bit, but you can have faith. You can have faith, and if you don't act on it, nothing will happen. You can have faith to be healed, and if you don't act on it, nothing will happen. Now I'll show that to you by the Word. But that's an eye-opener for some people. It's not just believing. You got to release it. Now, we've read it. I hesitate to turn there, but I'll just quote it because we've turned there a lot. About Romans 10, verse 9 and 10. It says, it's with the heart one believes. We talked about this last week. It's with the heart one believes. But it says that you believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. You say with your mouth, I'm just going to turn there. It says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We read that last week and we talked about that faith is of the heart, not the head. So I'm not going to repeat that. You can go back and listen to that message. But here it did say, it's with the heart one believes, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So we need to release our faith. Faith comes by hearing. We spent a whole bunch of time on that. Faith comes by hearing the word. You hear the word. You hear what God said. Either you hear what he said in the written word, or he speaks to your heart, but you have to do something with it for it to work. Now, go ahead and turn over to Acts 14. We're going to look at an example there. Acts 14. Did you know that you can see faith in somebody? You can tell if somebody has faith or not. Acts 14, verse 7. Everybody there? It says, and they were preaching the gospel there, Paul and Barnabas. And in Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb, who had never walked. This man heard Paul speaking. Paul, observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed. Now, two things. Paul, observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed. Paul saw that he had faith to be healed. He saw. He could tell he had faith. You can see it. You can see it in somebody. But let me ask you a question. He had faith to be healed. Was he healed at that point? But he had faith to be healed. Why wasn't he just healed? He had faith. So if all it is you have faith, then he would already been healed. But that's not what the Bible said. Just because faith has come into your heart, do you realize you won't see the result unless you do something with it? Now let's read the rest of it. Verse 9, this man heard Paul speaking, as Paul, observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, stand up straight on your feet. And he leapt and walked. Now, before that, verse 10, Paul said with a loud voice, so he saw that the guy had faith to be healed. He said, stand up straight on your feet. Now, right there, people read this differently a lot of times, like with kind of mystic eyes looking at it, instead of the reality that this was a person in a crowd. Paul was speaking to you, just kind of like what's going on here. And a lot of times we look at the Bible and Bible characters as if they were some kind of, you know, mystical personality that were destined to do certain things and they had no choice in the matter. And in this case, this man, when Paul said that, it was automatic. But did you see, go back to verse 8, and in Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb who had never walked. The man had never taken a step. Now, if somebody would have walked by and said, hey, you, they just saw him sitting and didn't realize, hey, come with us. His response could have been, I can't walk. I've never walked. sorry, I can't go with you, right? And that would be probably pretty normal for him. So Paul tells him, he says, get up, stand up straight on your feet. Now, the man did not have to get up. You think, well, he was healed and then he got up. Paul saw that he had faith to be healed, but he wasn't healed. Now Paul said, act on your faith. Basically, get up. You believe that you can be healed, now act on it and get up. He could have sat there and done nothing, which is exactly what he was doing up until that point. The Bible says he had faith to be healed. It did not say Paul was about to perform a miracle and that it was a move of the Spirit. The Bible says he had faith to be healed. Paul saw it and he said, get up. Mm-hmm. Now, he could have said, I can't. And you wouldn't have read about this guy. It's not a foregone conclusion. What you read in the Bible, these were people just like you and like me. They were not, see, people have looked through these through religious eyes and think everything, and the Bible doesn't teach this, but that's another subject, that everything that happens is the will of God. Well, just look around you. Just look around. You think all the things you read about in the newspaper are the will of God? God is the author of that? When somebody decides to do some, horrible thing that we read about in the newspaper, God caused them to do it? Well, of course not. Well, so then how many other things are people's choices and not Him? These people that you read about in the Word, they chose to act on the Word. This man chose to believe. I'm sure that wasn't the only person that Paul ever spoke to. Could have been. I mean, we can't tell by the Bible if there were people that just refused. But you don't hear about them. God chose certain people and because He knew that they would believe, but they had a choice. They acted. I mean, Abraham, the father of faith, he believed. Otherwise, you wouldn't hear about him. Nobody twisted his arm. He had to act just like you and I have to act, which is good news. Because if we understand that it's our choice and that we can act on our faith and that we'll have results like the Bible says, then we have a choice. If we think it's some out there that's just God and it's all up to Him, well, when, how, I don't know. It's just up to Him. And we talked about this a while ago. If God has already provided something and He's put it in your hand, you don't put it back in His hand. There are things that God is working out in His plan. You're obedient. Jesus said, not my will, but your will be done. But that was in the will, walking out the will of the Father. You don't pray that when you're talking about healing, when you know His will. If He's already promised something, if He's already promised you it, you don't have to go back to Him and say, well, did you really mean what you said? He's just waiting for you to say, I'm taking it. And see, that's where you can say, I believe, and a lot of people do believe. But what are we doing with it? We have to release it. We have to act on it. This man acted on it. And a lot of times, there's a lot of times that the only way you're going to act on it is by speaking something out. Even if there's nothing physically you could do in a certain situation, you definitely can use your mouth. You can say something. You could say with your mouth that you believe God and speak the word and believe that it's working. And say it's working. And agree with the word of God. What do you say? You praise Him and say what He said. God's word, His power is working in my body. He is working on my behalf. I have favor at work. He is giving me wisdom in this situation. See, when you don't know what to do and you say, I don't know what to do, that doesn't help you. You already knew that. If you don't know what to do in a situation and you say, I just don't know what to do. I just don't know what to do. I don't know what I'm going to do. How is that helping? That's speaking doubt and unbelief. If you've prayed, the Bible said, if you lack wisdom, if any lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all liberally and without reproach, in James 1:5, and it will be given to him. So if I need wisdom, I go to God and say, God, I ask you for wisdom in this situation. I don't know what to do, but you know exactly what to do. And so I ask you right now to show me, and then I receive it, and I believe now I start acting like I have it. And if you sit there and wait for it to drop on you, you're not acting like it's true. And you can sit there all day. And that's what a lot of people do. Not making fun, because I've done it. As an illustration, you pray, and now you wait to see it. That's not acting like it's true. I've done that at work in the early days. I would pray, and then I would wait. And I would think, and I was writing software, so I'm thinking, it's just going to fall on me. I'm just going to know. Like, you know, you're just going to get this flash. And what I learned was to start acting like it's true, because I don't feel it. I don't know where to look. You know, I'm trying to debug or a problem or figure out what the solution is. I don't know where to look, but I start looking. And I start doing something. God, you're showing me. And your mind may say, I don't know where I'm supposed to look. I don't have any clue. And if you speak that out, you just stay there. I mean, it's a very hands-on, natural experience, but I've shared some of that before. I can't count how many times I've done that. God, show me what to do, and then you start acting like you know what to do. You start going through and go and believing that he's showing you. And take action. If you just sit there and go, well, I'm waiting. God, show me. I believe I have wisdom, and I'm just going to sit. So you may believe, but you're not acting like you believe. Because if you acted like you believed, you would start doing something. Well, I'm going to know what to do. I'm going to know what to do. So I'm going to look here and here. And then, see, it's easier to steer a moving car than it is one that's stationary. You know, if the car's just there, you don't have any momentum, you can push all you want. It's pretty difficult. But as you just get the car going just a little bit, you can push it. So if we'll just act, you have to put action. We have to put action to our faith and release it. Start, if you say, well, I don't know what to do, start saying what the Bible says. Well, I've prayed for healing. I'm waiting for it to show up. I'm waiting for the pain to leave. Start doing what you couldn't do. Just start saying, no, I believe I have it. If you're not going to act on anything, just start believing and saying, God, I trust you. Lord, I thank you that by the power of God is working in my body. Doing that is acting. You're agreeing with him. But if you sit there and go, I don't know, it just hasn't changed. I don't know. You know that already. You're not acting in line with him. You're acting in line with what you can see and feel. That'll keep you there. That's not how you release faith. Faith that's just in your heart won't work. We've read, you don't have to turn over there. We've read, I just want to read it. Mark, just write it down. Mark 11:23 says, for surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things he says, he will have whatever things he says. This is an example of acting on your faith. You believe, but then you need to act on it. And even if you say, I just don't know how to act on it, you can always speak it out. You can always agree with him. And boy, I've seen it. You can sit there and pray and just be like, see, a lot of times what we're doing, to be honest, we're waiting for a feeling. We're waiting till we feel like the word's true. I'm waiting to feel like, you know, this surge or, okay, now I have it. That's not faith. If you'll start saying, I have wisdom. I the power of God is working. I'm strong. Start speaking in line with the word of God. It's amazing. You can sit there and be silent and just you're trying to, for lack of a better term, you're trying to just believe. You're trying to believe. You're working it inside. I believe. If you'll start speaking it out and act like the Word of God's true and start saying, I'm going to have a good day. My body is strong. I can do anything I need to do. My body works for anything I need to do. I can go wherever I need to go. Whatever the part is, whatever part of your body is working, you start saying, no, it's strong. It functions normally. It functions perfect. You are releasing faith. It's activating it. And it does something because you're hearing yourself speak. That's how we activate our faith. You turn your faith loose by acting on it and by saying what you believe. Faith cannot be released out of your heart toward God without saying what you believe or acting with what you believe. It won't work. Faith simply won't work without an expression of faith. And we read in Romans 8, or 10, verse 9, that's how we got born again. Faith will, and let me tell you, we know this. Many people have heard the gospel message. And the Bible says faith comes by hearing. So faith was coming, but there are people, they won't act on it. They'll say, I'm not, later, I'll do it. They don't act on it. And right in Romans 10, it says, if you confess with your mouth, you act on it, and you say, I believe that Jesus rose from the dead. That's how you become saved. It's not just believing in your heart, it's acting, and so many times, it is, you can say it. Nowhere in the Bible do you ever find that faith is released apart from an action. Faith that is only in your heart will never bring a healing to your body or the infilling of the Spirit or an answer to prayer. I'm going to say that again. Faith that is only in your heart will never bring a healing or an answer to prayer or anything else. Being filled with the Holy Spirit, I've seen this. There are people that say, they just try to become filled with the Holy Spirit, but they're not acting on the Word. And jumping in and saying, I believe I receive, and then step out and start speaking in tongues. And believe that God will fill their mouth and what's boiling up on the inside of them. I've seen it over and over. I prayed for a lot of people, and I tell them, when I lay my hands on you, there's different ways to receive the Holy Spirit, but I'll lay my hands on them. So when I lay my hands on you, the Spirit of God's going to come on you. There's going to be something that is not English coming up. Speak it out. And people get different concepts. They feel like God, and I tell them this before, but like God's going to somehow take control of your body and make you speak, or they just don't feel it. Has nothing to do with that. You jump in and do what the Bible said and believe that He's going to do what He said, and then it works. And it's the same thing with any area of the Bible. Any area where faith is concerned, faith in your heart will not do it. It won't do it alone. Faith in your heart, released in an action, released by saying, released in acting on the Word, will do it. Now we just saw it here. I'm going to show you another example. But you saw this man. The Bible says he had faith to be healed, and people would think, why isn't he healed? It's just faith. It's not just faith. He had to act on the Word. And so many times we're waiting to feel something, waiting for God to do something, and what we have to change it to is He has done something, and I'm going to believe it now, and I'm going to act like I believe it. I'm going to choose to act on it. I'm going to choose to believe it. And you don't necessarily feel like it. You can feel like there's nothing. No feeling. Like God, there's nothing, and if you wait to feel good, you've totally missed it. You're already not walking by faith, you're walking by sight, you're walking by feeling. That's not how we release it. If you act without faith, nothing will happen, it won't work. So people try that too. They just try to get up, well, I'm just going to do like so-and-so did. You know, so I'm crippled, but I'm just going to get up, but there's no faith there. That won't work. But the reverse won't work either. If you believe without action, nothing will happen. If you act without faith, nothing will happen. But if you combine faith and action, then the word works. Then the word works. Faith is active. Now, an example from the Old Testament in Joshua chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6, verse 3. Now this is the account of Jericho. So verse 3, chapter 6, verse 3. It says, "You shall march around the city." This is God's... This is God's direction to the children of Israel, Joshua 6, verse 3. It says, "You shall march around the city, all you men of war, you shall go around the city once. This you shall do 6 days, and seven priests shall bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the seventh day you shall march around the city seven times, and the priest shall blow the trumpets. It shall come to pass, when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout, then the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up, every man straight before him." Now, why didn't God just knock the wall down? Well, he did, but he did it. He told them what to do, and then their obedience, they did it, and then... just like he said, it happened. But they had to do something. And so many were like, "God, well, just go ahead and do it." Well, number one, for the things we're talking about, he has done it. And by we're waiting for him to quote unquote do it, then we're waiting to see something. And that's the problem. We're not acting. Notice, we'll see it here in a minute. Go down to... go down to verse 20. Or actually, go back to verse... let's go back to verse 14. Just pick it up. It says, "The second day they marched around the city once and returned to the camp." So they did for 6 days. So they did what God has told them to do. It says, "But it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and marched around the city seven times in the same manner. On that day only they marched around the city seven times. And the seventh time it happened when the priest blew the trumpet that Joshua said to the people, 'Shout, for the Lord has given you the city.'" Now, verse 16. Let me ask you a question. When the trumpet sounded, and when Joshua said, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the city," are the walls up or are they down? But look at what Joshua said. He said, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the city." Now, help me out. Is "has given," is that future tense, is that present, or is that past? Doesn't Joshua know what he's talking? I mean, can't he see? Can't he see the walls in front of him? But God told him what would happen, didn't he? Back, didn't we read it? Look at verse 5. No, look at verse 4. "Seven priests shall bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark, but the seventh day you shall march around the city seven times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. It shall come to pass when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout. Then the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people will go up every man straight before him. Now you say, this is a foregone conclusion. Of course, they're going to do this. Don't they know the wall is going to fall down? They didn't have this to read. All they had was the Word of God. They could not look back at this account and say, well, of course, or the TV show, you know, and see the account. Like the VeggieTales. You ever watch that? It's pretty good. Little peas on the wall and, you know, the saints go marching in and they play all that stuff. It's pretty good. But no, they did not have that to what? All they had is God said, when they sound the trumpet, we shout, you're going to shout, and then the walls are going to fall down. So let me ask you a question. Then fast forward, they've already gone down around 6 days. They've marched around 7 times. The trumpet's shouting. Why would you shout? Because you believe something. Because the walls are still up. And in normal circumstance, I don't care, you know, how strong your voice is. And I know, you know, people try to talk about, you know, the vibrations, everything. I don't know. Okay, maybe there was something of that going on, but it's still supernatural that a bunch of people shouting at a structure makes it go down flat. That's not normal. That's not the normal sequence of events that I'm going to go up and shout at a physical object and it's going to flatten out, especially not a wall that's constructed and designed to keep people out. Certainly, it was strong enough to withstand a shout. Right?
Yes.
So that's not normal. To do that and expect something to happen, you would have to believe something. You would have to believe God. But notice it wasn't enough to go, we believe, wall fall down. They had to do what God told them to do. And they had to put action. If they would have just stayed at home and say, the walls are going to fall down anyway, well, that would be contradicting what God said. And you just look at example after example in the Word, and God told you what to do. If you actually believe it, you'll act like it. And in this case, if they believed what God told them to do, then they're going to do what God told them to do, and then they're going to get the results that God told them they would have. So if you go back to verse 16, it says, the seventh time it happened, when the priests blew the trumpets, that Joshua said to the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. So people will say, well, why should I say I'm healed? Because God already told you you were healed. So if you're doing what he told you you are, you're not lying, you're agreeing with him. That's not to say, you don't say the symptoms aren't there. You say the symptoms are there. Fine, if somebody were to ask you, yes, the symptoms are there, but God said I'm healed, so I'm agreeing with what he said, and I'm calling those things that be not as though they were. I'm expecting. Joshua said, the Lord has given you the city, but they're standing there and the walls are still up. Is he a liar? No, he's agreeing with God. He's saying, God's already done it, now here it goes, watch. You do what God told you to do. If God said that we're already healed, he himself took our infirmities, bore our sicknesses, by his stripes we were healed, then it would be smart to say, I am healed, even when the sickness is still right in front of your face or in your body. And you have symptoms. You don't see the you don't have to say the symptoms aren't there. You say, you call the part of your body strong. If it was your heart, you say, heart, I have a strong heart. Well, yeah, but the heart's not beating right. That's the same as the wall still being up. It's the exact same thing. But if God told us one thing, then we agree with him, and then we'll see it the circumstance change. If they would have waited to shout until the wall fell down, then there would have been a lot of people that were just waiting for days and days, and they're saying, well, as soon as the wall falls, then we're going to shout. We're going to party. I'm waiting for it. I'm waiting for God to knock down the wall. That's not what he said. He said, shout, and the wall will come down. And God said, act, believe you receive, and then you will have. Say, and then the mountain will move. So verse 20, so the people shouted when the priest blew the trumpets, and it happened When the people heard the sound of the trumpet, the people shouted with a great shout that the wall fell down flat. I like that. It fell down. It didn't just fall down. It fell down flat. Then the people went up to the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. Notice it happened just like God said it would happen, but they had to do what God told them to do. Putting action to your faith. Believe and act. Believe and say. That, those two together, that's the powerful combination that makes what God said come to pass in our lives. Amen.